welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Strategic Plan and Survey on ECISD Agenda. The Ector County Independent School District Board of Trustees is still planning a workshop at 6 p.m. today in the boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. Discussion of the district's strategic plan, budget revenue, the Youth Truth Survey, and revisions to the 2019-2020 pay plan are among the items on the agenda. A discussion of and a request for approval to adopt resolutions pertaining to employee pay and leave during emergencies also is on the agenda. We will limit the number of employees involved and present at the meetings. The meetings are, of course, still open to the public. We will also provide live streaming for both the workshop on March 17th and the regular board meeting on March 24th. ECISD School Nutrition. We are currently preparing a feeding schedule for our community during the closure. Once it has been finalized, we will get it posted. Please check our page frequently to get the most up-to-date information. Governor Greg Abbott announced Monday that he has waived the state of Texas assessments of academic readiness, STAR testing requirements for the 2019-2020 school year. Additionally, his website said Abbott is requesting that the Department of Education, DOE, waive federal testing requirements for the 2019-2020 school year. At UTPB, online classes that are already underway, which includes dual credit classes, continue as scheduled. The spring break extension is for face-to-face classes only. Monday and today, UTPB will be open for most operations, and only those employees who receive a communication are expected to come in. All others will come to work on Wednesday, the university website stated. Student housing remains open. Students are encouraged to stay home and not return to campus. Student housing remains open to retrieve personal items, and students may collect their things at any time. Dining services remain open. The only exception is the on-the-go and Starbucks options inside the Student Activity Center. The site detailed a decision on all end-of-year activities, including commencement, will be made soon. The site stated UTPB may postpone the ceremony, so do not make travel plans for purchase, regalia until further notice. Odessa College's website stated out of an abundance of caution, it also will be closed through Friday. The closure includes and affects the main campus, Children's Center, the Spot Center, the Extension Center in Andrews, Pecos, and Monahans, the early college high schools and all dual credit and continuing and workforce education courses. College faculty and staff will use this week to transition spring and spring 2 classes to all online formats. The spring semester will resume and the spring 2 term will begin on Monday, March 23rd, using the college's online learning management system Blackboard. OC employees were told to plan to report to work March 16th or during regular working hours or shifts as assigned. Faculty and staff will use this week to begin preparing for classes to resume online on March 23rd. Please communicate with your direct supervisor if you are unable to return to work. Frank Rich, Executive Director of Marketing and Communications at OC, said this week is all about planning and getting ready to make whatever transition will be necessary to online courses. A lot of the classes that we offer now are either online or hybrid. We have a complete online structure, Rich said. He added that students use Blackboard to get instruction and communicate. There's a complete system in place, Rich said. There are a lot of different things that, of course, this affects schedule-wise. First Odessa Christian Academy and Compass Academy Charter School have both extended their spring breaks to March 27th. Tyler Press, head of school at First Odessa Christian Academy, said the school, located at First Baptist Church, is officially closed until March 27th, but online learning will start March 23rd. The school has 112 students enrolled in kindergarten through 7th grade, and they are still taking enrollment this year, too. We're in the process of getting everything lined up. We'll get supplies and iPads to students starting Monday, Press said. Press said there are extra minutes built into their schedule so they can take time to get prepared to roll out the best online learning platform for our students. It actually doesn't move our end of school date at all. We would much rather take the time to ensure students and staff are safe and to make sure we have the best environment for them in this awkward educational time. Plans are to get ready to resume learning at 8 a.m. March 23rd. We are fortunate we are small. We did have several things in place. We're one-on-one. They have devices provided by the school already. And Google Classroom and lots of our teaching tools are web-based, so they can still get access to those while at home, Press said. One-to-one refers to every student having a computer. Compass Academy Board President Kenny Comstock said they have closed school for 2 weeks. The school administration is creating a plan for long-term at-home education. Every student over third grade has a laptop. Younger students have iPads and older ones have Chromebooks, he said. On the subject of public government meetings, Abbott on Monday acted to maintain government transparency and continued government operations while reducing face-to-face contact for government open meetings. As Texas works to mitigate the spread of COVID-19, the governor granted the Office of the Attorney General's request for suspension of certain open meeting statutes. This temporary suspension will allow for telephonic or video conference meetings of governmental bodies that are accessible to the public in an effort to reduce in-person meetings that assemble large groups of people. The release said this temporary suspension will leave important open meeting protections in place. Members of the public will be entitled to participate and address the government and body during any telephonic or video conference meeting. To hold a telephonic or a video conference meeting, a governmental body must post a written notice that gives the public a way to participate remotely, such as a toll-free dial-in number, and that includes an electronic copy of any agenda packet that officials will consider at the meeting. A governmental body must provide the public with access to a recording of any telephonic or video conference meeting. State and local officials who have questions about open meeting requirements after this suspension should submit them to the Office of the Attorney General via email at toma@oag.texas.gov or by leaving a message at 888-672-6787. Officials with questions about teleconference and video conference capabilities offered by the Texas Department of Information Resources should visit dir.texas.gov or call 512-475-4700. Officials who hold video conference meetings are encouraged to provide for participation via telephone for members of the public without video conferencing capability. If officials are not holding a telephonic or video conference meeting, all open meeting requirements apply. On a separate item, ACT has rescheduled the April 4th National ACT test date to June 13th in response to concerns regarding the spread of the coronavirus, COVID-19. ACT will communicate directly with all students currently registered for the April 4th, 2020 ACT test. All students registered for the April 4th test date will receive an email from ACT in the next few days informing them of the postponement and instructions for next steps. Crisis Center closes administrative office. The Crisis Center of West Texas Executive Director Lori Dunham said via news release that her team came together to find the best ways to keep staff, clients, and communities safe in the face of COVID-19, and that some services will change until further notice. With guidance from the Texas Council on Family Violence, National Network to End Domestic Violence, the Centers for Disease Control, and many other state and local health authorities, Crisis Center of West Texas, CCWTX, has opted to close the administration office through Friday. Services to survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault remain available and free of charge. CCWTX case management, counseling, legal advocacy, including protective orders, education and batterer intervention and prevention, BIPP, services will be available via phone and video communication, and CCWTX will continue to operate our 24/7 crisis hotline and Louise Wood Angel House Emergency Shelter. Call 1-866-627-4747 if you are seeking shelter or other immediate assistance. All staff is available by email, and many, including case managers, counselors, and its legal advocate, are available via phone. If you need to reach any member of the Crisis Center of West Texas staff, please call their direct line, email, or call the hotline for assistance. Due to running a skeleton crew and the closure of the administrative office, Crisis Center of West Texas is unable to accept drop-off donations this week. ECISD to provide student meals during school closure. During this school closure, Ector County ISD is making breakfast and lunch available each day to students who need it. This will start with lunch today at 11:30 a.m. Breakfast will begin on Wednesday. Breakfast service will run between 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Lunches will be served between 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. Meals will be available at every school except the two early college high schools and the Alternative Education Center. The meals are for students only, defined as all children under the age of 18 or under the age of 21 for youth with special needs. There will be one meal per child, and the child or children must be present in order to receive a meal. This will be a grab-and-go service. Parents can pick up the meals at the school's main entrance using the regular student pickup line procedures. Parents can stay in their cars, and meals will be delivered to them. Again, meals are for students only, one per child, and the child, children must be present to receive a meal. Ribbon-cutting ceremonies canceled. Gordmans announced Monday that it is moving forward as planned with its previously announced March 17th new store openings. However, to mitigate the spread of the coronavirus, COVID-19, and as part of an ongoing effort to comply with recommendations from state, local, and national officials to keep its guests, associates, partners, and facilities safe, the company is canceling its previously announced ribbon-cutting ceremonies. All other elements of the grand opening activities will continue, including honoring its commitment to local high schools in each new store location by providing them with a $1,000 donation to help support their high school activities. Obituary and death notices from the Odessa American for Tuesday. A memorial service for Opal Mae Clark McCandles Harris will be held at 10 a.m. on March 18th at Belmont Baptist Church and officiated by Pastor John McLemore. She passed from this world on March 14th in Midland Memorial Hospital. She was born in Pyote, Texas on April 9th, 1933, to Robert Fulton Clark and Fanny Bell Wise Clark. Her father passed away when she was a baby, and she was raised by Webb McCandles Jr., whom she considered her father. She is survived by her daughters, Sandy Jordan McCollum and husband James of Midland, and Karen Jordan Machuca and husband Gilbert of Hammond, Indiana, her stepdaughter Maggie Harris Babb of Midland, and her stepson George O. Harris III of Jacksonville, Florida. Nieces. She is survived by 7 grandchildren, 17 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grandchildren, along with a host of friends. She is preceded in death by her husband, George, her parents, Robert Clark and Webb and Fanny Bell McCandles, 3 sisters, Margaret Clark, Madeline Clark Louderback, and Ethel Clark Baird, a granddaughter, Anna Machuca, and a great-grandson, Hunter Abshire. In lieu of flowers, the family is requesting memorials to the Texas Lions Camp, P.O. Box 290247, Kerrville, Texas, 78029-0247. Arrangements are under the direction of Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Linda Bell Head, 70, of Odessa, died Friday, March 13th, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 6 p.m. Thursday, March 19th, at Greenfield Acres Baptist Church. Pastor Jimmy Skiles is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Clifford Lee Ishii, 62, of Odessa, died Tuesday, March 10th, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Judith May Heideman Stevens, 79, of Odessa, died Friday, March 13th, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Tuesday, March 17th, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors of Odessa.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading a series of coronavirus articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Tuesday, March 17th, 2020. U.S. tells older people to stay home, all ages to avoid crowds, by Jonathan Lemire, Andrew Taylor, and Jill Colvin, Associated Press, Washington. Racing to stall an expected surge of coronavirus cases, the White House on Monday released a series of sweeping guidelines that for the next 15 days will temporarily rewrite the norms of American society. President Donald Trump, employing a newer somber tone about the crisis enveloping the globe, urged all older Americans to stay home and everyone to avoid crowds and eating out at restaurants. The president, for the first time, acknowledged that the pandemic may send the economy into a recession and suggested that the nation may be dealing with the virus until July or August. The guidelines were released to an uneasy country. The stock market had its worst day since 1987. America's largest school system shut its doors, and questions remained about the administration's ability to test for the virus and provide hospital space for those who fall ill. Among the new recommendations, over the next half month, Americans should not gather in groups of more than 10 people, schooling should be at home, and discretionary travel and social visits should be avoided. If anyone in a household tests positive for the virus, everyone who lives there should stay home. The administration did not say how old people should be to follow the advice to stay home. "We will rally together as one nation and we will defeat the virus," Trump said. "We can turn the corner and turn it quickly." The president, when asked when the pandemic would subside, said that if we do a really good job, the crisis could pass by the height of summer. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the administration's infectious disease expert, did not challenge that claim. Trump's prediction was far less optimistic than his earlier ones when he insisted it could be over in weeks. He also acknowledged that the virus may send the nation's economy into a recession, a potentially brutal blow for an incumbent seeking re-election. That admission was startling for Trump, who for 2 weeks had struck a discordantly optimistic tone about the pandemic that endangered his presidency. On Monday, that upbeat demeanor was gone as he acknowledged the virus was not under control in the United States or globally. He said he did not yet plan to call for domestic travel restrictions while his administration made pointed appeals to millennials to stop socializing and risk spreading the virus. He was reluctant to advise states to cancel the primary elections ahead. And without providing details, he said we're going back to the airlines 100%, a note of reassurance for an industry crippled by travel bans and fears of spreading the virus. The expansive guidelines were issued on a day of fast-moving developments in a capital resplendent in cherry blossoms, but awash in anxiety. Congress convened to try to finish an aid package and consider another one behind it. The Supreme Court postponed oral arguments for the first time in over a century, and the U.S. Surgeon General said that the United States is about where Italy was 2 weeks ago in the coronavirus struggle, a sign that infections are expected to rise. When you look at the projections, there's every chance that we could be Italy, Surgeon General Dr. Jerome Adams told Fox News. Yet, he said, the U.S. has opportunities to mitigate the pandemic. 2 weeks ago, Italy had 1,700 cases of coronavirus and had reported 34 deaths. Now, Italy is reporting an estimated 25,000 cases and more than 1,800 deaths. About 3,800 cases have been reported in the United States, and so far more than 65 people have died from coronavirus. Although the numbers may not be directly comparable, the trajectory is, as Adams sees it. Houston and Dallas tighten rules as Texas braces for more cases. By Jim Vertuno and Paul J. Weber, Associated Press, Austin. Houston and Dallas closed bars and clubs. Standardized tests for more than 3 million public school children were canceled, and Republican Governor Greg Abbott on Monday told the public to brace for a surge in coronavirus cases as the outbreak continued to dramatically reshape life in Texas. We are at a pivot point in the trajectory of the virus. History will say that we prioritized human life, said Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo, the top county official in Houston. It will say that if we erred on the side of action. The sweeping and sudden moves tracked with other cities and states around America taking similar, if not even more dramatic, steps to curb the spread of the pandemic that has resulted in 3,800 cases around the country alone. Texas has nearly 60 cases, and Abbott told reporters that results were still pending on more than 300 tests. He also warned that the number would skyrocket as Texas races toward a goal of testing 10,000 people by the end of this week. People just need to prepare and not be shocked for the mathematical reality, Abbott said. Abbott has left the difficult choices of whether to limit mass gatherings or close restaurants and bars to local officials, saying that each community are best suited to make its own decisions. On Monday, it was Houston and Dallas taking the biggest actions yet, limiting restaurants to takeout or delivery service, and putting new restrictions on other parts of daily life. Dallas officials prohibited community gatherings of more than 50 people and ordered gyms and theaters shut for 7 days. In Houston, restaurants will be limited to takeout for 15 days. Officials said the decision was driven, in part, by still seeing large crowds of people this past weekend in the nation's fourth largest city. For most people, the virus causes only mild or moderate symptoms, such as fever and cough. For some, especially older adults and people with pre-existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia. The vast majority of people recover from the virus. According to the World Health Organization, people with mild cases recover in about 2 weeks, while those with more severe ones may take 3 to 6 weeks to get well. More than half of Texas' 1,200 school districts have already ordered extended closures. The State of Texas Assessments of Academic Readiness, also known as STAR, is the state-mandated test given annually to students from elementary through high school. About 3.5 million students took the tests during the 2018-2019 school year, and state officials expected that it would have been more this time around. But even after Abbott told schools it did not have to administer the test, it remained unclear how canceling STAR would affect students who need certain tests to advance to the next grade level or graduate. Volunteers Fight Virus by Testing New Experimental Vaccine by Carla K. Johnson, Associated Press, Seattle. The first people to roll up their sleeves and receive an experimental vaccine for the coronavirus say they were inspired to help because they wanted to do more to fight the disease than wash their hands and work from home. Three of the study participants spoke to the Associated Press on Monday following the trial's first injections in Seattle. They said the shots were no more painful than an ordinary season flu vaccine. Some will get higher dosages than others to test how strong the dose should be. They will be checked for side effects and have their blood tested to determine whether the vaccine is revving up their immune systems. The volunteers said they weren't acting in hopes of protecting themselves. They understand their role is a small part of what could be an 18-month hunt for a successful shot that could be distributed widely. They work in the tech industry and in health research. Two have children, and all three are working from home to slow the spread of COVID-19. They are a 43-year-old operations manager at a small tech company, a 46-year-old network engineer at Microsoft, and a 25-year-old editorial coordinator at an independent global health research center at the University of Washington. Jennifer Haller, 43, still cuts up apples for her 16-year-old son and 13-year-old daughter each morning, even though the teenagers now make their own lunches. She leaves for work before they head to school on a normal day. On Friday, however, the governor ordered the closure of all Washington State schools that were still open. Her company wants everyone to work from home. Her husband, a software tester, was laid off last week, a move unrelated to the pandemic. The family's income was cut in half. The job market looks grim. "I figure we probably need to prepare for him to be off work for 6 months," she said. Haller works as an operations manager at a small tech company that normally runs out of a shared working space in Seattle. She learned of the vaccine study through Facebook on March 3rd, the day Kaiser Permanent Washington Research Institute started recruiting. She submitted her application immediately. 2 days later, she was dining at a Mexican restaurant when she answered a phone call from an unknown number. It was a member of the research team, asking if she wanted to participate and if she had 15 minutes to answer some questions. She interrupted her dinner and agreed. "We all feel so helpless. This is an amazing opportunity for me to do something," she said Monday. Neil Browning, 46, lives in Bothell, Washington, north of Seattle, with his fiancée and their daughters. He works as a network engineer at Microsoft, one of the first companies to require its employees to work remotely. At a neighborhood gathering Sunday, Browning watched his daughters and other children improvise a game of tag without touching each other. They had been told about social distancing, a way to fight the virus by staying away from others. "Kids are fairly adaptable," Browning said. "If you give them a set of rules, they like to follow them if at all possible." Browning and his fiancée have three daughters between them, ages 8, 9, and 11. The girls are proud of him for testing the first vaccine for the new virus. "Every parent wants their children to look up to them," Browning said Monday after his shot. "But he's told the girls not to brag to their friends too much. It's other people, too. It's not just Dad out there." Rebecca Cyril, 25, barely stopped working to get her shot Monday, participating in a conference call for work while sitting in the Research Institute's clinic. She moved to Seattle from the Boston area in December to work as editorial coordinator for the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. She lives in an apartment with roommates, and her social life took a hit with the coronavirus restrictions. The ultimate Frisbee team she joined for the spring season is no longer playing. Our very first game was canceled, she said. The dating scene is kind of on hold for the moment, Cyril added. You know, people talk about finding their quarantine buddy, but I'm happy to kind of wait another couple of months. You know, it's not that pressing an issue right now for me. She's heard friends make dark jokes about parallels between the coronavirus pandemic and the start of every zombie apocalypse movie ever made. I say, no, guys, it doesn't have to be that way. She joined the vaccine study as a way to contribute to the situation in a positive way, considering, you know, the main guidelines that we all have right now are to stay home and do nothing, which is sort of a hard message to hear when you want to help out. And now here are a few business articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Tuesday, March 17th. Oil slumps to lowest since 2016, by Alex Longley, Bloomberg. Oil's spectacular collapse deepened as widening global efforts to fight the spread of the coronavirus looked set to trigger the most severe contraction in the annual demand in history. Global benchmark Brent crude fell more than 12.5% after Saudi's Aramco chief financial officer said the company is very comfortable with oil at $30 a barrel. Demand for fuels is falling off a cliff as a result of global restrictions to prevent the spread of virus, with gasoline futures reaching their weakest level since at least 2005. Even a massive emergency move by the Federal Reserve to cushion the world's biggest economy just added to the fear gripping markets. Forecasts for global oil use are being cut dramatically as government measures to contain the spread of the pandemic restrict the movement of people and throw supply chains into chaos. At the same time, giant producers are unleashing a flood of supply after the disintegration of the OPEC Plus alliance. Oil prices remain in free fall. Commerce Bank analysts, including Karsten Fritsch, wrote in a report, "The more countries freeze public life, close their borders, and cancel flights, the greater the impact will be on oil demand." Oil traders, executives, hedge fund managers, and consultants are revising down their estimates for global oil demand. The growing fear is that consumption, which averaged just over 100 million barrels a day in 2019, may contract by the most ever this year. That would easily outstrip the loss of almost 1 million barrels a day in 2009 and even surpass the 2.65 million barrels registered in 1980, when the world economy crashed after the second oil crisis. Travel restrictions across the globe tightened further over the weekend, with the U.S. extending its travel ban to include Britain and Ireland. Australia said anyone entering the country must self-isolate for 2 weeks. Spain imposed a lockdown, and France closed cafes and restaurants. New York City limited restaurants and bars to takeout and delivery service and shut nightclubs, movie theaters, and concert venues. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommended postponing any events with more than 50 people for the next 8 weeks. The Fed cut its benchmark rate by a full percentage point to near zero and will boost its bond holdings by at least $700 billion. The move could trigger a fresh round of monetary easing around the world as countries look to keep money flowing as economic activity grinds to a halt. It wasn't enough to calm markets, though, as U.S. equity futures hit limit down. Big shale borrowers on fast track to junk in latest oil rout, by Caleb Matua and Allison McNeely, Bloomberg. The latest crash in oil prices is threatening to push $140 billion of investment-grade energy debt over the edge into junk. Despite the modest recovery after 2016, oil prices have been capped by plentiful global supplies, and at the same time, the U.S. shale sector has exhausted the patience of many equity investors with consistently poor returns. Now the industry has been blindsided by the double whammy of a supply shock from the coronavirus and an oil price war. And President Donald Trump's efforts to prop up prices is unlikely to offset more expected supply from major producers. That's left exploration and production companies in a weaker position coming into the latest crisis, with WTI crude hovering near $30 a barrel. Those including Occidental Petroleum, Apache, and Marathon Oil are cutting spending wherever possible, but bond traders seem to have already made up their minds. Some of these companies' debt, and that of others, is trading around 70 cents on the dollar, a far cry from near par where most traded just a few weeks ago. When you have these investment-grade companies trading in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, that just tells you that the market certainly doesn't look at them as investment-grade, said James Spicer, a high-yield analyst at TD Securities focused on energy. It looks at them as distressed names that have real default risk. It may be too late for oil producers to refinance their way out of this one. Capital markets have been mostly shut for weeks as corporate debt traders price in a greater chance of recession, only opening up in small windows for the highest quality borrowers in safe haven sectors like utilities. If companies can't service their debt, the possibility of downgrades pales in comparison to the threat of default. For investment-grade borrowers, they're still trying to avoid downgrades to high yield, which would make them so-called fallen angels. But strategists are betting against it. UBS Group boosted its fallen angel forecast by $50 billion to a high of $140 billion, largely due to the stress in energy. That number could represent just North American energy companies alone crossing to high yield, while a prolonged downturn could affect an additional $320 billion of BBB-rated midstream debt, Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Spencer Cutter said in a report Wednesday. Much of that could come from Occidental, which slashed its dividend last week for the first time in 30 years to conserve cash, and would be the largest issuer in the Bloomberg Barclays High Yield Index if cut. Apache, which also reduced its payout, is another, as well as Marathon Oil, Continental Resources, Cimarex Energy, Noble Energy, and Hess, according to Morgan Stanley. Unlike 2016, the risks in energy today are not limited to high-yield companies alone, analysts led by Sirikanth Sankaran said in a report. Hess has 80% of its 2020 production hedged, no meaningful debt maturities until 2027, and more than $5 billion of liquidity to protect its ratings, spokeswoman Lori Hecker said in an email. Apache also pointed to its $4 billion of liquidity and considerable flexibility to manage upcoming debt maturities. It doesn't have any debt due this year. A spokeswoman for Occidental declined to comment, while representatives for Marathon Oil, Continental Resources, Cimarex Energy, and Noble Energy didn't respond to requests for comment. The exploration and production sector makes up the biggest chunk of riskiest high-grade companies and would be the first on the chopping block when credit raters start downgrading, according to credit sites. Cost-cutting measures like those announced last week by Occidental and Apache may help companies buy more time, but the big question is whether that will be enough to keep bond graders at bay, according to Aaron Lyons, U.S. credit strategist at Credit Sites. Given the underlying price environment, especially in energy, there just might not be much else they can do apart from cutting shareholders' returns, she said. Moody's Investors Service is expecting more oil and gas companies to reduce capital spending and potentially cut or even suspend payouts to shareholders as cash flows dwindle and access to capital markets becomes limited. S&P Global Ratings said it will review all investment-grade and high-yield E&P companies as it now expects WTI crude to end the year at $35 instead of $55. higher quality names like Diamondback Energy, Parsley Energy, and WPX Energy are likely to trade back up once the dust settles, said T.D. Spicer. But for the riskier ones like Occidental, Cimarex, and Continental Resources, it may be too late to stave off downgrades to junk, even if oil prices don't rebound anytime soon, Spicer said. If this situation persists for any period of time, and it seems like it will, I think all of these names will come into high yield, he said. As Congress eyes economic package, Democrats seek $750 billion, by Lisa Mascaro and Alan Fram, Associated Press, Washington. With an urgency unseen since the Great Recession, Congress is rushing to develop a sweeping economic lifeline for American households and businesses suddenly capsized by the coronavirus outbreak. Democrats said at least $750 billion would be needed, and top White House officials briefing Senate Republicans at the Capitol said a similar-sized package needs to pass, some suggesting in a matter of days. ASAP, White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow said late Monday, this is an urgency. The rush to inject cash and resources into the economy is an effort unlike any since the 2008 economic crisis, with political and economic interventions and eye-popping sums to try to protect Americans from the health and financial fallout. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin will return Tuesday to meet with Senate Republicans to launch the effort. We've got a lot of work to do from here, Mnuchin told reporters. Senators returned to an emptied-out U.S. Capitol, clear of tourists or colleagues from the House, to confront an even more dire situation than the one they left for a long weekend before Trump declared a national emergency. Pending is the House-passed aid package approved early Saturday, with sick pay, free testing, and emergency food, that is endorsed by President Donald Trump and ready to become law. But action was stalled for much of the day as the Senate waited on the House for technical corrections as Republicans and a leading small business group raised objections, a setback only resolved late in the evening with the House voice vote of approval. Senate passage could follow as early as Tuesday. All sides, the House, Senate, and White House, agree the spending bill is not the last and not nearly enough to handle what's coming. At the start of the month, Congress approved $8.3 billion in initial aid. Trump quickly signed into law the measure, which provided federal agencies money for vaccines, tests, and potential treatments, and funding to help state and local governments respond to the threat. We will need big, bold, urgent federal action to deal with this crisis, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said Monday. Schumer floated the Democrats' proposal for at least $750 billion to boost hospital capacity, unemployment insurance, and other direct aid for American households, businesses, and the healthcare industry. Republican senators conferred privately over their priorities. Republicans, often reluctant to spend federal dollars, did not flinch at the head-spinning number as a roster of America's big and small industries, airlines, hotels, retailers, lined up for aid. Senator Mitt Romney, Republican Utah, called for sending $1,000 to every adult American. The president conveyed that lawmakers should not be impeded by the price tag, said Eric Euland, the White House legislative director. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he wants a comprehensive approach with significant steps for the economy, particularly Main Street businesses. He opened the Senate on Monday with a message to Americans: the Senate stands with you. The days ahead will test whether Congress can quickly respond to the crisis. Industries representing a broad swath of the economy are seeking help in withstanding the fallout as schools close and Americans are being told to stay inside, skip non-essential travel, and avoid gatherings with 10 people or more. That means no dining out, no boarding planes, No shopping the malls as a great national shutdown sparks business closures, layoffs, and lost paychecks for rents, mortgages, and everyday needs. The nation's largest business organization, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, asked the Trump administration and Congress on Monday to act rapidly to help companies have access to cash and avert a potentially devastating hit to the economy. The request from U.S. airlines alone could easily top $50 billion, according to Airlines for America, the trade group representing the carriers. "We're going to back the airlines 100%, Trump said at a White House briefing. "We've told the airlines we're going to help them." In a letter to Trump and congressional leaders, the Chamber of Commerce called for legislation including a 3-month cancellation of the taxes companies pay to support Social Security, Medicare, and unemployment insurance. No family and no business should go bankrupt just because of the temporary disruption in income caused by the coronavirus, said the chamber's CEO, Thomas J. Donahue. The nation's governors were also calling on Congress to swiftly bring economic aid, particularly for the unemployment insurance system, to help displaced workers, and fast. "We need a better response from the federal government," said Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo, a Democrat. "I am out of patience." Pulling together the new package will challenge the basic logistics of governing as Congress itself struggled to adapt to the new normal. House Democrats were told on a conference call they won't be recalled to Washington until the next package is ready for action, according to people familiar with the call, but unauthorized to discuss it and granted anonymity. The 100-member Senate convened for an evening vote, a potentially stunning sight in the new era of social distancing. While different authorities around the country have issued conflicting advice, the Trump administration said at a Monday news conference that Americans should not gather in groups of more than 10 people over the next 15 days. The number two Senate Democratic leader, Dick Durbin of Illinois, counting the number of senators on the floor, questioned what example they were setting. He urged swift package of the House package. "What are we waiting for?" he asked. Despite Trump's robust support, a handful of Republicans said they wanted to make changes in the House-passed measure. "It doesn't go far enough," said Senator Tom Cotton, Republican, Arkansas.
Potassium levels require treatment to your good health for Tuesday. "Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 73-year-old male and have been diagnosed with a number of different medical conditions. I have one kidney, stage 4, and have had atrial fibrillation since 2008. Recently, my nephrologist said I have high potassium levels. In order to treat this, he has prescribed a medicine called Valtassa. I started on it and my numbers are fine, but the problem is I cannot afford the medicine at $1,100 per month. According to my doctor, the only alternative med is K-exalate, which he doesn't want to use, and which gave me serious diarrhea during a hospital stay. Are you aware of something else that can help me?" Dr. Roach writes, "High potassium levels are a serious problem in severe kidney disease. Without the kidney, the body has no way to effectively get rid of potassium. So as kidney failure progresses to end stage, called stage 5, where a kidney transplant or dialysis becomes life-sustaining, potassium becomes extremely important. Reducing potassium intake is critical, and I am sure your nephrologist, nephros is Greek for kidney, has given you advice on reducing high potassium foods, such as orange juice, bananas, potato skins, avocados, and many others. Very careful adherence to a low-potassium diet will reduce the amount of medication you need. A dietitian nutritionist can help. Unfortunately, you can't avoid potassium entirely, so if medicines like furosemide, Lasix, which make the kidney excrete more potassium, haven't worked, you need an alternative. Well-meaning grandmother is criticized for helping too much. Dear Abby for Tuesday. Dear Abby, my husband and I are not on the same page about helping with the grandkids. We moved here 6 years ago to be closer to my daughter, her husband, and their two daughters. The older one is 9 and the younger is 6. Although the 6-year-old has multiple physical challenges and developmental delays, our son-in-law thinks we babysit far too often. My intention is to help my daughter with the challenges that a special needs child presents to the family. Mostly, I am the one providing the care. My husband does the minimum. Every time I agree to watch the children, I feel huge stress because I know my son-in-law will complain about it. It's tearing me apart. Thank you for listening. Just writing this helps. Helping in the East. Dear Helping. I agree that parenting a child with special needs is challenging. You are a loving, caring mother and grandmother, but this is something your daughter and her husband have to reach a meeting of the minds about. The last thing she needs is dissension in her household. Counseling for them might help your son-in-law understand that your daughter's health might be compromised if she does everything herself. Some sort of compromise about your level of involvement could be key. As to your husband, I'm not sure what more you think he should be doing. He agreed to move closer to your daughter so you could help her. It has to have been disruptive for him. Please give him points for that, because I do. Dear Abby, I have a couple of weddings coming up, and I have a small dilemma. They are both in my husband's family and only a month apart. One is his brother's and the other is his cousin's. My question is, can I wear the same dress to both weddings? I normally don't care about what people think, but I also don't want to be the subject of ridicule or scorn at a family event. I'll also add it's not about financial concerns. It's just that it's a beautiful dress, and I really don't see the point in going out and getting another fancy dress. I worry about pictures at both weddings. I guess I'm confused and could really use some advice. Beautiful dress in the Midwest. Dear Beautiful Dress, you're not a Hollywood actress during award season who must have a radically different look for each ceremony. Your family weddings are special events, but there is no reason you can't use the dress you have in mind for both. If you're afraid it may cause a problem in wedding photos, consider accessorizing your dress differently for each one. Gold jewelry for the first, silver for the second, and a different colored shawl or wrap. I'm sure you can pull this off. Please write back and let me know. Confidential to my Irish friends. May you always have a sunbeam to warm you, good luck to charm you, and a sheltering angel so nothing can harm you. Laughter to cheer you, faithful friends near you, and whenever you pray, heaven to hear you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Love, Abby.
And now here are horoscopes for Tuesday, March 17th, 2020. Jacqueline Begar's stars. A baby born today has a sun in Pisces and a moon in Capricorn. Happy birthday for Tuesday, March 17th, 2020. This year, you accomplish more than ever thought possible. For once, you feel your dreams match your goals, and they are a productive match. You come out on top as a VIP in a prestigious organization that aligns with your humanitarian ideals. If single, you find yourself obsessing less and have more fun dating. An old friend offers something more, but you wait to commit. If attached, your partner is more willing to listen, which is a very welcome change. You are willing to go along with his or her sometimes wacky ideas. By the end of the year, money ceases to be a worry. Aries often makes you smile. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. 3 stars. Important meetings dominate your morning. You feel particularly ambitious, but don't try to do the week's work in one day. Make it okay to be spontaneous. A career coup may be in the making. Tonight, make time for a loved one who needs your help. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 5 stars. You wake up feeling adventurous. Take some time off if you can to pursue long-forgotten goals. An old friend wants to plan a vacation with you. Go over your budget to see if it is possible. You will be happily surprised to see it is. Tonight, flow with the moment. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 2 stars. You are always the life of the party, but today has quite a serious turn. A family member wishes to go over a matter of inheritance. Just listen quietly. A new acquaintance invites you to a location you haven't been to in years. Tonight, write and journal. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 3 stars. Loyal you rushes to a loved one's aid today. You are excellent in sensing others' needs, and you do exactly what needs to be done. Work is unexpectedly more exciting than usual. Consider signing a new long-term contract. Tonight, listen to a child's concerns. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 2 stars. Health takes the spotlight today as you finally find a specialist who can really help you. You feel the stress relax at work as a colleague has something to celebrate. Extra work is yours if you need it for the future. Tonight, slow down and let someone else take the lead. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 4 stars. You can take time off today. A person from your past contacts you and it is a positive experience. You reminisce about shared love and you get a brilliant idea for a creative project. Tonight, plan your budget to go out for an expensive dinner. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 3 stars. An elderly family member needs your help more than he or she is saying. Read between the lines. A boss might not be as flexible as you like, but ask more questions and you will reach a compromise. It will make both of you happy. Tonight, celebrate a job well done. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 3 stars. You assume the role of advisor today as a sibling or old friend contacts you with important health news. You are very intuitive about what is not being said. Point out unforeseen problems. Optimism goes a long way. Tonight, return calls before settling in for the night. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 3 stars. A raise may be on the horizon if you play your cards right. Ask questions. Get feedback. You might not understand where a person is coming from, but an honest discussion clears the air. Listen to someone you see daily for a suggestion. Tonight, get your house in order. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 5 stars. You wake up still feeling the glow of yesterday's success. It launches you into a splendid day today. Celebrate with friends and loved ones. A child is clingy and needs your thoughts on a subject dear to his or her heart. Tonight, take time off to relax. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 4 stars. Creative ideas abound today, and you feel the urge to share them with someone you trust. You might even consider a partnership with this person, giving you a clearer perspective. Tonight, contact a family member and plan a future time together. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 3 stars. You might feel a bit dreamy today, but colleagues pull you out of it with an impromptu invitation. A chance encounter with a stranger will point you in a new direction. Trust the universe and step forward. Tonight, make a list of your most important social groups. Born today, singer Nat King Cole, 1919. Actor Kurt Russell, 1951. Swimmer Katie Ledecky, 1997.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.